your world news headquarters on the World Wide Web. It's time for your daily dose of sanity. This is the Maria Heller Show. Maria Heller is a published author, founder of the Universal Wheel, a lifestyle and philosophy based on our interconnectedness to all living things, a Reiki master, and delivers the news with spiritual views. How many intuitive news decoders, animal rights activists, and vegetarian broadcasters are there? Just one. Maria. Maria has provided independent news for a smart audience for over 14 years now at the Maria Heller Show, available at maria.net.
M-E-R-I-A.net.
And now, here is your host, the mouth that roars, Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking, ready for round four with Jesse Ventura today. This is the fourth time Jesse's been on the show. Today we're going to be talking about his excellent book, They Killed Our President, 63 Reasons to Believe There Was a Conspiracy to Assassinate JFK. For those of you who may not be here in the United States and saying, who's Jesse? Who's Jesse Ventura? He is the former independent governor of Minnesota. He's also a former U.S. Navy frogman, professional wrestler, movie actor, visiting fellow at Harvard Kennedy School of Government. He's also a New York Times best-selling author. I'm sure you've seen his TV show, Conspiracy Theory with Jesse Ventura on True TV. And today, Jesse, you couldn't have come up with a better name for the book. They've Killed Our President.
Well, and, you know, our timing, we felt that it's 50 years, if you can believe it, Maria, 50 years since John F. Kennedy was murdered, and we still don't know the truth. We still won't get an admission. You know, it's an interesting topic because I like to compare it much like the Harry Potter books in a way, because as new evidence surfaces every couple of years, you know, we get that much more nails into the coffin that prove that Lee Harvey Oswald, certainly in my opinion, was not the assassin, and if he indeed was involved, he certainly wasn't alone.
Right.
That involvement in any way, shape, or form. And, you know, I'm just tired of them perpetrating this myth that, and when you read my book, some parts of it you want to cry, but they're almost laughable.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you know, on how the public accepted this when there's this evidence. Like, one of the things you always hear is that, well, if there was a conspiracy after all these years, someone would have talked.
Right.
Well, the point is, people have talked. It's just that mainstream media won't report it. The thing that I think that one of the most shocking things we bring out in this book to the forefront is the fact that our former president Richard Nixon talked on his infamous audio tapes from Watergate.
Mm-hmm.
And on those tapes, if you go through them, you'll find him discussing the Warren Commission, and his quote in the tapes are, the Warren Commission was the biggest hoax ever perpetrated on the American people.
Absolutely. You know, I wanted to ask you, and it's a little personal, how old were you when Kennedy was killed?
Well, I was 12. I was in 7th grade in junior high school. I remember it very clearly. I remember we were all sent back to our homerooms in 7th grade junior high, and a half hour later they announced that the president was indeed dead, and we were all told that school would close immediately. We were to go directly home. And I can tell you that it's probably the first time I ever recollect junior high kids doing what they were told. We were told to go home, and I think every single one of us did.
Right. Do you remember how solemn that was told to you in your classroom?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they told us in our classroom that the president had indeed died at about 1 o'clock when Walter Cronkite came out with the with the famous TV quote, and we were immediately sent home, and of course, I think everybody in the nation then was home all weekend. They were stunned. They were shocked. They were, you know, it was surreal, I think is the best way to describe it. And then, of course, we were all viewing Sunday morning. I don't think there was a TV in America that didn't have on the first live murder.
Right.
Which, of course, was Jack Ruby shooting Lee Harvey Oswald, which, as we bring out in the book, another, I hope, telling tale of this as people read it is to understand and read about how Jack Ruby had known Lee Harvey Oswald since Lee had been a kid. a young boy. And, of course, the Warren Commission said there was no connection between the two of them, but that's completely untrue. There are still live witnesses today, Judith Ferry Baker being one,
right,
who will tell you unequivocally she went out to dinner with both men at the same time, and, in fact, Jack Ruby lended her $50 because she was short of money at the time.
Absolutely, and, I got the honor of interviewing Judith on my show on her excellent book, Me and Lee. But the reason I asked you that, Jesse, I was in my ninth grade English class, and the teacher came in just like with you, he said to the class, I have an announcement. If anybody left, you fail for the year. And then he told us the president had been shot. And I remember how surreal it was going through, I lived in an Italian American neighborhood in Brooklyn. I remember it was like everything was gray. Everybody was outside hugging each other and crying. It was surreal for sure. But the reason I ask you, you were 12, I was probably 13. And yet George Bush Sr. doesn't remember where he was on the day Kennedy was shot, and he was a grown man.
Well, we know for sure he was in Texas because he made a phone call and represented himself as that he might know who did it.
Uh-huh.
He threw a gentleman kind of under the bus, stating that this could be a suspect, and I think it was more done for him to establish an alibi outside of Dallas that day rather than being knowing that he was in Dallas, because a lot of strange things happened during that time. And as Colonel L. Fletcher Prouty, the Mr. X character in the great Oliver Stone film, JFK,
right,
as he always maintained, anytime you want to look for a conspiracy in government, look for the violation of standard operating procedures. And when you start looking for those, be it civilian government or military, it operates that way. And when you start looking at the violation of standard operating procedures, you start seeing multiples.
Mm-hmm.
Where standard procedures were violated that day. And that's your first sign that something isn't quite right and something's not as we think it may be.
Right. So talk about standard procedures. I'm sure, Jesse, as you were writing this book, you had to be thinking to yourself so many similarities to September 11th.
Oh, yeah, of course. There, if it works once, use it again. It becomes a formula. Then it in itself becomes a standard operating procedure.
Right.
Because if it worked, then, there they have a complete example of it. And, one of the main things, one of the things we discovered that I had never known before, and what's great about this book, we wrote it so that at the end of different paragraphs, you can actually go to the internet and you can pull up exactly what we're talking about. You can listen to the person say it and judge for yourself, or you can view the event we wrote about, which in one case is remarkable, concerning these Secret Service guys. Again, it was standard operating procedure that they ride on the bumper of the president's car.
Mm-hmm.
And yet that day, when they were leaving Love Field, you can see on this tape that the Secret Service, the young man, was ordered off the bumper by his superior, and you can see him throw his arms out, palms to the heavens, saying,
right,
you can imagine him saying, what in the hell's going on here?
Right, absolutely.
I'm supposed to be on the back of that bumper, and you're telling me now I'm not?
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, that's a violation of standard operating procedure. And then in the formation of the police on their motorcycles, they did not use the standard wedge formation, which is a protection formation. But the 2 days before in Texas, they had used it.
Right.
But in Dallas, amazingly, the wedge formation was discarded, and the eight motorcycle cops were put in a line each, one quite far in front of the president,
mm-hmm,
and the others behind him.
Right.
So that he was wide open and was not covered at all or protected at all by the motorcycle cops in the formation that they used, which made him extremely vulnerable to an assassination attempt.
Right.
And when you look at those violations of what are standard operating procedures, you clearly see that the setup had to have come from the most highest places, because the mafia couldn't do that. They couldn't order things like that to have happen.
Right.
They may have participated, because Kennedy certainly made a lot of enemies, and
all of them
were capable of pulling the trigger.
Well, yeah, and well, you know, this is another thing that I talk about, especially when I'm talking to one of my 9/11 experts. Obfuscation seems to be the trick they use. You know, they'll say, oh, you know, they make it very clear, like when you're studying the Kennedy assassination. Well, you got Secret Service involvement, you got the mafia involvement. You know, you have all these different things that could have been, you know, part of it. So if they keep you confused enough, you'll never come to the right answer. And I think that's deliberate.
Oh, yeah, certainly it is. And also remember this. Government's extremely compartmentalized. So you can have people participating in something and they don't actually know that they are.
Mm-hmm.
Because it only takes a handful of people in the know, in the power structure of government, who could pull something off to where many of the people involved at a lower level would not know the big picture. I had a friend of mine that was actually involved in the arms for hostages thing in the 80s with Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
And he truthfully didn't know about it until it broke on television.
Right. Well, and today a lot of people
watching TV and realized that he had participated in this because he was just given orders. You're going to take something from point A to point B and deliver it.
Right. And well, and you know,
he knew.
Right. And you know now that, you know, that was deliberate to make Jimmy Carter lose the election.
Sure. Well, that was the October surprise.
Yeah, some
this
surprise.
This was the arms for hostages that went on later in the Reagan administration, you know, the stuff involving Oliver North and all that.
Exactly.
And they were trading the arms for the hostages to get to then use that to pay off the Sandinistas and that whole war down in Central America.
Right. Well, you know, it seems that we never get the truth out of the government. You know, to me, I'm now at the point where I say anything coming out of the government is a conspiracy unless they prove different.
Well, you know, you almost feel that way because they're so untruthful so often. It just makes your skin crawl at times that they tell things. And if I could, I'd like to read something. I've been like doing this where in the back part of my book I do much more editorializing, but people should wake up to what's happening with our country today, because let me read this. There's absolutely no evidence to support the statement that we're the greatest country in the world.
Right.
We're 7th in literacy, 27th in math, 22nd in science, 49th in life expectancy, 178th in infant mortality, 3rd in median household income, 4th in labor force, and 4th in exports. We only lead the world in 3 categories, and listen to these 3. We lead the world in the number of incarcerated citizens per capita, in other words, the most people in jail. I find that interesting, in the home of the brave, alleged land of the free.
Mm.
We lead the number of adults who believe angels are real. And then we believe in defense spending, where we spend more than the next 26 countries combined, and 25 of those 26 are our allies, allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
So what are, you know, clearly, as Bill Maher says, the defense thing is a jobs program.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
We're in the business of creating armaments to kill each other throughout the world, and I think it's high time we change that culture and let's go into business for maybe renewable energy or something other than killing ourselves and creating an arms race and jobs depending upon it, to where we need to be in perennial war to keep people working. I find that disgusting.
Well, now we have new jobs. We have surveillance and military police state jobs.
Right. And if you add that to the already war-waging jobs, it's the wrong direction we as a society should be going.
Mm-hmm.
And we're supposed to be getting smarter with all of our technology, and yet when you look at how we're behaving, we actually look more stupid.
Well, you know, here you have, over the past few months, we're seeing people rip apart, you know, the thought of American exceptionalism. And with this government shutdown, debt ceiling crap, blah, 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 the whole world is saying we're no longer a superpower. How do we look to the rest of the world right now?
Well, we look dysfunctional. We look like a country that's completely dysfunctional. And certainly if I were another country, I would be very reluctant to be relying on us.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't look strong now. We look like we're in the midst of almost a revolution or civil war, and maybe that's good, you know.
Right.
You know, our forefathers always said it was a good idea every so often to, what was that quote they gave us?
Have blood run in the streets every 25 years to maintain our liberty.
Yeah, you know, and maybe that's a good idea. You know, certainly revolutions can, I advocate for it, and you can have a revolution without it being violent or without bloodshedding, which of course is what I would look to do, but we could have a revolution in this country at the ballot box. What scares me, Maria, is when I talk about making a run for the presidency, what's scary about it is it looks almost like destiny, the way they're lining everything up perfect for me.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I mean, with this fight between the two political parties, it clearly shows that my idea of abolishing political parties is the best thing we could do for the country.
I
certainly didn't think up that on my own. I got it from George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and John Adams, the guys who were pretty instrumental in creating the country.
Absolutely. They never, you know, thought of political parties as a good thing. What did you think about Jimmy Carter saying that we have no functioning democracy in this country?
I tend to agree with him. Again, here we've got a former president giving us some pretty stern warning to wake up, much the same as Dwight Eisenhower when he warned us of the military-industrial complex when he was getting out of office. And even, as I said earlier on your show, going to Richard Nixon, who in his tape said the Warren Commission was the biggest hoax ever perpetrated on the American people.
Well, until the 9/11 Commission.
Right. Well, at Nixon's time, anyway. But
right.
I don't believe you could ever have the 9/11 Commission without the Warren Commission.
Right.
You know,
well,
that's why I go back to the murder of Kennedy being the start of all this, because I believe it was. I believe it was the catalyst that took our government away from us. We had a coup d'etat that day, which is a change in your government, and it wasn't done at the ballot box. It was done with a bullet to the brain.
Right. Well, you know, that was going to be the next question I was going to ask you. I'm sure you're getting tired of people asking you, why are you still talking about this? This happened such a long time ago. Why care about it today?
Well, because of that feeling that if an entity out there can kill our president and get away with it, then what can't they do?
Exactly.
That's the point. What can't they do? And this needs to be finally brought to the surface, and we need the truth.
Right.
So that we can build our country around truth instead of lies. I mean, think of, okay, Lee Oswald has two daughters who are probably in their 50s today, I'm guessing. They're fully adults.
Right.
But I believe they should be able to know that their father was not this villain that he's been portrayed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that in all likelihood, he may well have been a hero instead of a villain.
Right.
Truly get into reading about him, and you read about what he was doing at the times, and maybe he was, you know, he liked being in the espionage world, which can make it kind of weird to begin with to like that type of thing anyway, but it doesn't necessarily make you a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Lee Oswald needs his name cleared once and for all. It was funny, I was doing a show, one of the very few, Tom Sullivan, where they let me on Fox for just, you know, on his show. And the lead-in was interesting. When he was reading his teleprompter on the lead-in was convicted killer Lee Harvey Oswald.
Right.
Immediately when it came to me, I said, Tom, there's the problem right with your lead-in. Lee Oswald was never convicted of anything.
No, he was murdered before he could talk. Dead men tell no tales.
And the point is, you do, and he said, oh, we were wrong. I said, well, that's the problem. Mainstream media does that intentionally.
Of course
because
it does.
Because if you tell people enough times he's convicted, pretty soon the general public believes he was, and people that weren't alive then will think, oh, he was the convicted killer of John Kennedy. And they need to be made perfectly, abundantly clear, Lee Harvey Oswald was never given a trial. He was never even given a lawyer.
He never even got indicted.
Exactly. He never went through any of the process, and yet you have our mainstream media today introducing him as the convicted killer, which is a bold-faced lie.
Well, it's the same lie they said immediately on 9/11 that Bin Laden was behind it.
Right.
And wasn't it Fletcher Prouty's character in JFK that said, you know, one of the ways of recognizing an inside job was they'd immediately announce who did it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, most definitely. In which, you know, in the case of Oswald, I still laugh at when he was arrested, because the only thing they knew about him when they arrested him was a merchant across the street saw him go in the theater and he didn't buy a ticket.
Right.
And yet they sent 10 squad cars, I think 24 cops and the news media, mm-hmm. to arrest this guy who they only knew didn't buy a ticket into the theater.
Wow.
Now, that alone, apply common sense here. If you were Oswald and you had shot the president and had wounded the governor,
mm-hmm.
what on earth would compel you to go to the afternoon matinee movie?
Right, let alone not pay the ticket, because in those days it was like 35 cents to go to
yeah.
the movies.
And what would compel you to go to the movies?
I mean, right.
I would think you'd be hiding in a basement, or you'd be trying to get out of town as quick as possible.
Right, exactly.
But you would be calm enough to go to the movies?
Well, you know, some people say maybe he was meeting, you know, an agent in there or his handler.
He was, but he didn't fully know that he was going to be set up yet.
Right, but he had a good feeling.
I think he knew, because that's when he started saying, I'm just a patsy.
Right.
And then he started to realize the full implications of what was happening to him, that he was indeed being set up to take the fall. But in fact, look at when they first confronted him. He was confronted 90 seconds after the shooting. He was down in the lunchroom, and there are multiple witnesses to this, standing there holding a Coke. Now, that's got to be the greatest ad for Coca-Cola in history.
Right.
You've just shot the president. You've injured the governor, and what's the first thing? You want a Coke and a smile.
Right. He wants the pause that refreshes.
How could you be so cool and calm to go down six flights of stairs, go over to the Coke machine and buy a Coke, and be standing there with not out of breath, not sweating or anything?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you have to also look at the time period, Jesse. You know, people, we had never experienced anything like this before. I mean, TV was new, okay?
Sure.
And all of a sudden we're seeing this, and, you know, especially in back in the early 60s, you know, Americans trusted their government, they trusted the cops, they trusted their doctors. You know, we were really, you know, happy days stupid.
Well, we were very much Leave It to Beaver.
Exactly. So, when they told us what they told us, it was easy to believe it. But I got to tell you, you know, even though I was, a preteen, teen, whatever you want to call it, I remember watching, because you, I'm sure, remember how many times they kept showing the same films over and over again on TV. And every time I would watch Lyndon Johnson swear his hand in on that Bible with Jackie covered with blood behind him, because she wanted people to see what they had done to her husband. Those are her words. I thought immediately, this LBJ is as guilty as sin. I just picked that up off the TV screen.
Well, that was very perceptive of you. Unfortunately for me, it was within a year or two along came the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, and I kind of lost track of it all.
Oh, well, who didn't want to? Hey, especially in the 67 when you even had the Doors to add to that thing.
And then when you read about, here's another big telling thing. Anybody out there, Homicide 101, if you even watch these television shows on TV, anybody knows that where there's been a homicide, they always put the yellow tape.
Mm-hmm.
No one is allowed onto that site until forensic and all the science people are through with it, gathering evidence, before they'll allow anybody in there. And the car was a crime scene.
Mm-hmm.
John F. Kennedy was murdered inside the car. So therefore, the car should have been taped off with the yellow tape, and it should have been gone through by the best detectives the Dallas police had, forensic people. Well, that car Monday morning, the president was killed Friday. They moved it quickly. They moved the car as fast as they moved the president's body back to Bethesda.
Mm-hmm.
Because Monday morning, that car was up in Detroit, Michigan at the Ford plant being completely refurbished on orders of Lyndon Johnson.
Exactly, on orders of Lyndon Johnson. You know, a few years ago, Jesse, well, maybe more than a few, George Bush Jr. was still in office when I interviewed Barr McClellan. I don't know if you've read his work on JFK.
Yes, I have.
But, you know, Barr made it very clear that of LBJ's involvement, you know, and basically all the people that LBJ had murdered, which I'm so glad you included in your book. But at the time, I said to Barr McClellan, I said, you know, don't both your sons work for the Bush administration? Because that guy was getting no play at all, even after the career he had. No one would put him on their radio or TV shows, even though both his sons were working in the Bush administration. And I said, can I mention that you're their father? And he says, no, I don't want them to lose their jobs, you know.
No,
but I mean, it was a very interesting book, and then a lot of the chapters, even with him in it on that history of or who killed the men who killed JFK that was supposed to be on the History Channel, well, Lyndon Johnson's wife, who unfortunately was still alive, called Jack Valenti and threatened him that if he showed that episode on TV, it would be the end of their relationship. So it ended up getting X'd off TV. So people have to realize Hollywood's part of the problem, too, because they consider themselves the media, and they're all puppets.
Oh, yeah. No, you should see when I go out with this book now, I can't get on ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, or MSNBC put me on for about 2.5 minutes in the early or late afternoon.
Mm.
But for the most part, CNN has me on. But for the most part, I have to do Russian TV, I have to do Al Jazeera, things of that nature, rather than what we would classify our mainstream TV. And I believe it's completely because of the content of the book. They
absolutely
don't want to give any light of day to anything other than the government's official story.
Well, you got to get, you know, you just said it yourself, Jesse. The media covered it up all those years, 50 years ago. They certainly aren't going to admit their complicity in it, and they are complicit.
Oh, yeah, very much so. Completely they are. You've had many. I remember when I did my TV show and we had St. John Hunt on, and it was the first time he was able to get on television and show the tapes and listen to them of his father, E. Howard, confessing to his knowledge of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so excited. I thought, God, this is going to be headline news across America.
Right.
I mean, this should be the headlines. Hunt admits to role in Kennedy assassination.
Mm-hmm.
And not a word.
Nope, of course not.
One word. I sat back and said, you got to be kidding me. Not one newspaper, nobody, no reporter saw my show and thought, wow, this is very interesting that Howard Hunt on a deathbed would admit to name names.
And nobody wanted to hear it. Well, we want to hear it. Nobody's willing to tell it. There's the other part.
Exactly, and I was just astounded over that mainstream media. So there's another example of people talking, but mainstream media not reporting it.
Jesse, you know how many people say to me, listen to my show and my news show, how is it I didn't hear this anywhere else? How come the media didn't cover this? And I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you paying attention? You know, you got what, 6 corporations that own it all? Do you think that they're going to go against the hand that feeds them and tell you the truth?
Yeah, it's a sad state we're in today, but I just did an interview at Mall of America with the local CBS affiliate, a young reporter, and I told her almost the same thing. I said, I said, you people have gone into the entertainment business now. You're not in the news business anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about ratings and making money and doing fluff and entertaining everyone rather than informing them.
Right.
And I said, it's a shame because I said, we counted on you to be the fourth branch of government and you're failing us miserably.
Well, you know, now they're talking about the fifth branch, which of course is people that are doing what I do. And Jesse, I've been doing this since 2000. Okay. This is a lot of hard, ball-breaking work, okay? But I do it as a patriot. Who else is going to do it? You know, these are not topics I want to know about, but somebody has to tell it on the mountain. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel the same way, you know, as a former fairly high elected official who's not part of the two parties. So I'm still offended, you know, Marie. I won governor. I figured that would be high enough. How come I didn't get invited to the Bilderbergs?
Yeah, well, because they knew you couldn't be bought and that your soul can't be bought.
I often laugh over that and I go, gee, what do I have to, if I won president, would they invite me to the Bilderbergs?
I guess you'd have to go and you'd have to kiss David Rockefeller's ring before you could get the nomination.
Yeah, I don't know, but I always was a bit offended over that because I thought, well, gee, I achieved a pretty high one and only
really?
Five governors in the world, and I thought that ought to get you a place at the Bilderberg. At least they'd bring you there for an introduction. But apparently they don't think that I'd make one of the boys very good.
Maybe they're afraid you'd throw them all in one good headlock and give them what they need. Well, one thing for sure, they know you're not an ass kisser. Okay, you look at all these presidents we've had since Kennedy, you know, and I got to tell you, I haven't seen one yet that hasn't kissed the ass of Bilderberg or AIPAC, let's not leave out the Israeli lobby.
Yeah.
Or, you know, David Rockefeller. You know, I mean, if you're not playing ball with the insiders, your career isn't going anywhere. I mean, let's face it, Jesse, what you pulled off to become governor on a shoestring was nothing short of a miracle.
Well, I'd like to not think it was. I would like to believe that, you know, we engage the public and we showed that when the public wants to flex their muscle, that they're still in charge, that they do have that right to vote. And as long as those votes are accurately counted, which they were in Minnesota, because we still use the old standard, you got to fill in the blank voting machine,
right.
Vote, hand-counted vote. And it showed to me that the public still has a foothold, that if they will get active and they will vote, they can take control of their government back.
Mm-hmm. Well, right now I'd like to vote them all out of office and hold them for high treason.
They deserve to be out.
Exactly. Jesse, we're going to go to a very short break. When we get back, I want to talk about Oswald's double, which, of course, you do cover some in your book. So stay with us. Jesse Ventura and I will be right back.
Wow. One solid hour of commercial-free information thanks to you. The person who wants truth has the integrity and understanding to support it with your donation and subscription. Maria believes people can handle the truth and delivers it tirelessly with those with ears to listen. 14 years on the net. Won't you take a moment right now to commit to a subscription of your choice at www.maria.net. That's MERIA.net. Over 1,100 hours of pure education all in one place, 24/7 and all downloadable. Knowledge is power. Sharing that knowledge is wisdom. Together we can change the world and create real hope. Now let's get back to the Maria Heller Show.
Okay, I'm back. I'm speaking with Jesse Ventura. His latest book, They Killed Our President, 63 Reasons to Believe There Was a Conspiracy to Assassinate JFK. It's co-written with two of my favorite guys, by the way, Dick Russell, who I interviewed many years ago, and David Wayne, who's also an excellent a journalist and researcher, that's for sure. Jesse, before the break, and before I even ask you about Oswald's double, I do want to tell you this. I've read so many books on JFK because I cover it as often as I do 9/11, and I have all these years, because it's that important to me. But your book is easy, okay? It's easy to read. It's like a slap in the face. Some of the chapters are two pages, folks. That's all you need to know about the 63 points he's making. If somebody reads this book and it's so simplistic in its ease to read, which is a big plus, Jesse, if somebody reads this book and can walk away still believing the official story, I have a beach in Phoenix I want to sell to them. That's all I can say.
Well, as I've said, you know, some of it is so obvious, Maria, that you just are astounded that anybody could. I had one guy I interviewed with at Sirius Radio. he had all sorts of bookmarks in my book, and he point blank said to me, "I don't believe your book. I believe the Warren Commission."
What a schmuck! They have a word for that in New York. That's the word.
I just thought to myself, this guy could have been standing there and watched the whole thing. He still wouldn't believe it.
Well, I guess he'll believe it when he's next to get tasered to the ground by one of the brown shirts that we have patrolling America now.
Well, you know, it just, like I said, if you read the book and you read the overwhelming evidence that shows that clearly there were forces that wanted Jack Kennedy gone, and they felt their only alternative naturally was to take him out and establish a new government, and they were able to do it because they stunned America. America believed that things like this couldn't happen in our country, and they need to understand they do. Look at when Abraham Lincoln was killed. Mm-hmm. We're led to believe all the time that it was John Wilkes Booth,
right,
the three-named sole assassin, when if you study Lincoln at all, you'll find out that eight people, it was a huge conspiracy.
Right.
They were also trying to attempt to kill the vice president and the secretary of state. They only were successful with the president. Booth was the only one that was successful in the conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
But eight of them were arrested. Four of them actually put to death after Booth, including the first woman.
Right, but of course they're never going to teach you that in school, just like, you know, yesterday was Columbus Day. And everybody was celebrating, basically, a guy who got lost, found a new country, decided, hey, these people look strong and hardy, let's make them slaves and kill them all.
Well, you know what I always find kind of humorous about American history?
Uh-huh.
Is how it ironically is taught to us, it all begins in 1492.
Yeah, and it all ended in 1492 for the Native Americans, that's for sure.
Right, but what I mean is, How can they say that?
Right.
Come on.
Anybody
knows the country was here before the Anglos happened to land here. I mean, we in Minnesota, we don't buy it because we have artifacts that indicate the Vikings were here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, long before. Plus, I learned in my reading in Mexico one year that when they were going across this country, they found a tribe of Indians down in Tennessee in the hills,
mm-hmm,
that were very fair-skinned, and they spoke a dialogue of Welsh.
Well, I'm not surprised. I mean, they,
you know, so that tells you right there that this place was known before Columbus got here,
mm,
and that certainly it had a history before Europe officially arrived.
Right, and it was surely doing a whole lot better then than it is now. Let's not leave that out. All right, your book, and one other thing I'd like to say about your book is you do quote so many great experts. So I don't understand this young man at Sirius saying, oh, I read your book, but... Because obviously he didn't do the homework, he didn't check the reference material, he didn't go online to look at the videos you tell him to look at, you know, he didn't read people like Jim Fetzer and other experts. It's easy for people to just say, oh, I don't want to know. I mean, they do the same thing on 9/11. But the truth of the matter is, Jesse, I've been telling people for years, whether you want to know or not, it affects you.
Yeah.
You know, look at the world we're living in now, and it did start, as I agree with you, this began with the murder of Kennedy, and they culminated it in 9/11.
You know, it, as I said earlier in the show, if you can kill the president and get away with it, what can't you do?
Mm-hmm.
It's
well,
simple.
What do you think?
You do?
What do you think about Obama sitting in office, okay? I mean, there's so many people with so many different opinions about his inaction, his caving in to the Republicans, et cetera. But I said, I wonder if they showed him.
It doesn't matter who you elect from the two parties.
Mm-hmm.
That's my bottom line. They're
right.
Both paid off by the same. Obama's biggest contributors, Goldman Sachs.
Exactly.
They're both paid off by the same power brokers. They've covered their bets on both sides of the aisle. So it does not, as long as you elect a Democrat or Republican, it does not matter. You will get the same government. They needed Barack Obama with his message of change because the country was in an uproar after George Bush had gotten done, him and Cheney. But what happened? Obama ran on all these wonderful things, but none of them came true. As soon as he got in office, I can't tell the difference between our foreign policy today and our foreign policy with George Bush.
No, it just looks like everything got worse. Okay, you know,
they're the same.
Right.
And so the public gets misled again in believing somehow if they vote Democrat, they're going to get a different change in course in government.
Right.
I got news for them. They're not going to. Mm-hmm. As long as they continue to elect these two major, as I call them, gangs, and my apologies to the Crips and the Bloods, because I call them Democrips and Rebloodlicans, these guys are worse. Mm-hmm. And let me explain why. I'm not condoning the Crips and Blood behavior. They certainly can be bad behaved, but they only affect the people where they're located, like usually in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
The Democrats and Republicans affect every person in this country, which that's what makes them worse.
Absolutely. And we have
because decisions they make affect each and every one of us. When they shut down our government, that affects every one of us.
Of course it does. Of course it does. And if for people new to the show, I have a great interview with Jesse on his book about the Democrips and what did you call them?
Oh, the Rebloodlicans and the Democrips, and it's no more gangs in government, and I refer to them as gangs, you know.
Right.
Where they came up with this term party, a party's a joyous occasion and a happy time. They're not a party, they're a gang.
Exactly.
A gang like any other gang.
Exactly. Question, when I was reading the book, and I don't even know that there's an answer, but I got very curious because you reminded me of Oswald's double, you know, how Oswald could manage to be in Mexico and the United States at the same time, you know, in Cuba and here at the same time. And I was so curious. I said, I wonder whatever happened to his double.
Well, who knows?
I would think if they killed him, they probably bumped off his double as well.
Who knows? Well, you know, we'll probably never know, but that's not so uncommon in the world of espionage when you're in the spy business that they create a second entity or a second person of you, because it makes it very confusing then, and they can have you in two places at once.
Mm-hmm.
Plus it gives what they call plausible deniability. You know, if they can get a witness that says, well, no, he was actually here, he wasn't down in Mexico City or vice versa,
mm-hmm.
and it confuses the whole thing to where you don't know what to believe in the end,
right.
And that's what they thrive upon, is that confusion of not being able to pinpoint it. Like when people say to me, well, then who did it? Who did it? Who did it?
Right.
Well, I can give you many scenarios and people who had a good chance of doing it,
mm-hmm.
but it's been 50 years and there was never a trial and no one was ever put under oath. So how can you absolutely say this person did it and this one didn't?
Well, what do you think about the fact that they locked up those papers, some of them till 2017, some till 2032?
Well, the best one is this for people if they want to know how ridiculous it is. You cannot get Lee Harvey Oswald's tax return. Now, how could that have any bearing on national security whatsoever?
Mm-hmm.
And people may say, well, what difference would that make, getting Lee Harvey Oswald's tax return? Well, it would start a paper trail as to who Oswald was working for.
Mm-hmm.
And if that paper trail led back to the United States government, well, then clearly Oswald was working for the U.S. government when he was the Pats, or when he allegedly killed the president.
Exactly.
Well, that indeed changes the whole scenario, doesn't it?
Of course it does.
And so that's why they won't let any of us see Lee Harvey Oswald's tax return.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I know you've interviewed Judith Baker. And, you know, I never saw anybody keep so many little pieces of paper and mementos throughout her whole life. But when I read her book, Me and Lee, I was blown away.
Oh, absolutely. And Judith is coming back. I got a message that she's going to be in Minnesota in a couple of weeks, so I'll be meeting with her again. And for those that don't know, she was Lee Harvey Oswald, for lack of better term, lover or mistress in New Orleans. Marina and Lee were living separately because Lee was going to divorce her, but he didn't want his kids sent back to the Soviets. In fact, that's why they had their second daughter, so that they would legitimately have an anchor baby, for lack of a better term.
Mm-hmm.
It would be much harder for Marina to be deported if she had a daughter born in the USA, and thus being a United States citizen.
Right.
And so that's why they had their second daughter. It wasn't any that they were truly in love with each other anymore to that point. and Judith and Lee were going to run off together because Judith was likewise married and she was hiding the affair from her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an interesting story because it fills in all the blanks, Lee and me, of New Orleans. And it also ties a lot of loose ends together as to why David Ferry had all these mice in his apartment. Well, when you read Judith's book, it becomes abundantly clear why.
Absolutely.
You know, they were attempting to create a fast-moving cancer to attempt to kill Castro with it, and that's why Lee would have to go to Mexico City. And then, ironically, what was it that killed Jack Ruby? A fast-moving cancer.
Right, and the last person to see him alive was Dorothy Kilgallen, who was a great journalist.
She was the only, Dorothy was the only person allowed to interview Ruby.
Mm-hmm.
And Dorothy came out of that interview and made the statement that she was going to break the Kennedy case wide open. And within a week or two, she allegedly committed suicide in her apartment in Manhattan, which, when you read about the suicide, it's ridiculous.
Right.
Well, she was sleeping in a bed that she never slept in when they found her on one. She had a book next to her that she had already read, and she didn't even have her reading glasses around, and she required them to read.
Right. Well,
so clearly, Dorothy Kilgallen did not commit suicide. She was, and all of her notes and everything on JFK were stolen. So it's an intriguing. We cover all that in the book.
And absolutely. So, I'm glad you did.
When they pick up this book, you're going to find it so intriguing because it's like the best murder mystery you've ever read in your life.
Absolutely. I think it only took me like 2 afternoons to get through this book. So it's well worth people putting in the time. You know, you mentioned in the beginning of the book some movies that people should watch, and of course one of them is The Manchurian Candidate and 7 Days in May. But, you know, I always think about that old movie, which, you know, you weren't able to see right away after the assassination, the one called Executive Action with Burt Lancaster. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, very well. That was the first movie that actually depicted that there could well have been a conspiracy that did shoot John Kennedy.
Right, where they had like 7 different shooters all placed around the area practicing, you know, and especially on the grassy knoll, which you cover in depth in your book.
Yep, well, there's no doubt. One of the telling things is when you go back to the police radios, and what were the first commands from the Dallas sheriff and the chief of police who were riding a couple cars in front of Kennedy?
Mm.
They ordered men up to the overpass and up to the grassy knoll because that's where they felt the shots had come from initially.
Well, that's where most of the crowd started running towards.
Exactly, and there was not a word about the Texas bookstore until 7.5 minutes later.
Well, the other interesting thing you cover that, you know, I don't see anywhere else, okay, maybe other writers think it's trivial, but I certainly didn't think so, and that was the guy with the umbrella.
Oh, yeah, the umbrella and then the other guy with him, these two strange characters on the street that behaved when you watch them on tape, how they come together when it's all over, and they sit together not saying anything, and then when they both leave, they both go in opposite directions.
Mm-hmm. Sure look like signals.
And him opening and closing the umbrella and pumping it up and down at certain points during the Kennedy's travel across Dealey Plaza.
Mm-hmm.
It clearly looks like obvious signals of some sort, and it was a bright, sunny day.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody else had an umbrella that day because there was no threat of rain whatsoever.
Right, and it wasn't like people were afraid of the sun back in the 60s. You know?
No, not a bit.
Right.
You know, nobody carried umbrellas for shade back then on a beautiful, you know, November sunny afternoon in Dallas, Texas. The temperatures wouldn't have been that hot anyway.
Right.
Because it was November. You know, it wouldn't be like going to Dallas in July.
Exactly, exactly. So, you know, there's so much in this book that has to make people think. And I think that, you know, anybody that would say, oh, well, I'm still going to believe the Warren Commission. You know, and first of all, I'm sure whoever that guy was probably never read the Warren Commission to begin with.
Yeah, well, he claimed to have it. He claims he's read the whole thing.
Good luck with that.
It's just the case that once you put together a lot of these facts, you realize that the official story is absurd.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not just the murder of the president. I think the big part of the story is the cover-up.
Yeah, then people need to be clear on that, Maria, that there were two conspiracies that happened that day. There was the conspiracy to actually murder the president, and then, of course, there was the second conspiracy to cover it up. And some of the players are only in one or the other, and then some of them look to be in both, you know. Mm-hmm. But there were clearly two conspiracies that happened on that same day.
Yeah, and I mean, the government did everything they could to suppress the investigation.
Yeah, it was without a doubt they did. They had their killer, and they were sticking with him no matter what, and they were creating a case that would portray Lee Oswald as the killer, and that's what they did. And fortunately for us today, polls state that 75% to 80% of the public does not believe the Warren Commission, for whatever that's worth.
Uh-huh.
And it's our job to maybe convince the other 15 to 20. Although they may be unconvincible, because if anyone, and here's what I like to laugh about with my book,
mm-hmm.
63 reasons where Oswald could be given a reasonable doubt and be acquitted. Well, let's say hypothetically 5 of them aren't true.
Right.
Well, that still leaves 58 of them.
Right, exactly. I mean, none of this would hold water in a courtroom today.
You know, it still leaves, no matter how many, you know, you'd have to dispel all 63 of them, and that's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
That's impossible. And any one of the 63 could be grounds enough for acquittal, because people need to understand that you're not guilty of murder until it's beyond a reasonable doubt. And in this book, we give you 63 reasonable doubts.
Yes, you absolutely do. And, you know, I have to ask you, as somebody who was a Navy SEAL, do you honestly buy the single bullet theory? Can anybody really buy that single bullet theory?
No, you never can, because they... Number one, Gerald Ford admitted changing the bullet in the Warren Commission to make it work.
Uh-huh.
Number two, the surgeons in Dallas at Parkland Hospital, most of them combat veterans, all testified that the back of his head was blown out. There was an entrance wound above the right eyebrow, and that he had a throat wound that was an entrance wound. And these were all doctors and nurses that saw gunshot wounds on a daily basis. They know what they're talking about. The fact that if you took the amount of shrapnel in Governor Connally, and Governor Connally always admitted that he was not hit by the same bullet as Kennedy,
mm-hmm.
and you can clearly see it in the Zapruder film when Kennedy comes out from behind the sign, he's clutching his throat, he's taken the round to the throat already, and you can clearly see Connally's been hit by nothing at that point. So what is the bullet, hovering in the air?
Right, and then after all those...
The cartoon bullet.
Right,
and then finally, Maria, don't believe me, believe Carlos Hathcock, the greatest sniper in Marine Corps history that we write about in the book. They attempted it 10 times, and Carlos could not do it. Remember, Lee Oswald was not 0300 infantry. He was a radar man.
Mm-hmm.
He never even probably carried a weapon in the Marine Corps. Carlos is the greatest shooter the Marines have ever had. Carlos can't do it, and Oswald could. Apply common sense, and you'll come to the conclusion this is ridiculous.
Absolutely. Well, Jesse, I want to thank you so much for joining me again today. As usual, it's been fun and informative.
Well, thank you, Maria. Always great to do your show. Keep up the First Amendment. Keep up the good work and keep informing people. Hopefully we'll win. We may lose some of the battles, but maybe we'll win the war.
Well, we have to win the war, so that's
okay.
Not an option. All right, take All care, right. Jesse.
Bye-bye. We'll talk again.
Yes, we will. Bye-bye. Jesse Ventura, they killed our president. 63 reasons to believe there was a conspiracy to assassinate JFK. If you don't believe it and you want to stay asleep, good luck, because the world's imploding. And it started on that fateful day. And they've been lying to us ever since. And as Jesse said, if they have a system that works, why would they change it? Because we saw the same players and the same crap on September 11th. So you can look at this as Alpha and Omega. The beginning of the end and the end of the end. But maybe a revolution is what we need. And it, as Jesse said, doesn't need to be a bloody revolution. Okay? It's all about non-participation and saying, guess what? I'm not playing this game anymore. Anyway, thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting the show. Tell your friends about it. You know, sometimes it doesn't really pay to argue with people that are stuck in the lies that they choose to believe, because it makes their lives easier. We didn't come here to have an easy life. We came here to learn and move forward. Anyway, tomorrow Jack Blood joins me for Blood and Guts. I hope you'll be tuning into that. And see you guys then.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.